I got you. I got you. What? Wait. Wait a minute. Where am I? No. I was on his trail. I was just about to catch him, and...
The cop's gumshoes, worn smooth from pounding pavement for 10 years without a raise, clattered across the Hollywood sidewalk like the sound of a running two-legged centipede. The shadowy figure's cape billowed just in front of her. The cop reached for it, but the cape was out of reach. The pair turned down an alley where a brick wall spelled the end of their not-so-merry chase. The figure turned, black hood obscuring its features, and saw the cop closing in. "Nowhere to run," the cop said. "Now show yourself." A dainty hand reached out from a long sleeve to peel back the hood, revealing an all-too-familiar face. Sun-damaged skin from working a beat for a decade. Scar on the right eyebrow. Brown eyes, black hair. Perpetual frown. It was me, the cop said, horror crawling over her skin like a sensual snake massage. No, the figure said. Me. Think about it. All this time, who have you really been chasing? Crime, the cop said. The figure laughed. No, the figure said. You've not been chasing anyone. Instead, you've been me, running away from yourself. The end.
Are you done, or...?
Of course I'm... I said the end!
Then let me out of here. I'm a lifelong cop about to crack the case of the century. I was hot on the heels of a serial abductor who's been kidnapping Angelinos for the last year, but I chased him into an alley and something smacked me on the head and now... I'm here. Help me get out of this prison cell. I can probably still catch him.
But I'm afraid there are criteria for leaving my cell that you haven't met. In order to get out, you must read one of my horror stories, and then, if you've done a good job and we talk about how spooky it was, I might let you go.
I'm a cop. I demand you let me out.
I'm the only law around these parts. Do we have a deal?
Fine.
Excellent. Let me pull up my evil chair. This is a story about the dangers of an imagination running wild and allowing children to draw whatever they want.
Okay.
You need to read it out loud.
Oh, okay. Plushie from Hell. Little Brimstone Stevens loved to draw. He would scribble day and night until his rainbowed array of pencils wore to nubs. His parents couldn't keep up on the paper front. He went through a jumbo sketchbook every day. His parents loved his passion, liked to see their otherwise sad and lonely only child keeping busy. It was like he didn't want to stop. But what Brimstone's parents didn't know was that he couldn't stop. Brimstone was compelled to draw these creatures. They told him to, or else. The compulsion had started 3 months ago when Brimstone's parents moved him to Rome. His father was an art restorer who was currently updating the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. At the tender age of 7, Brimstone was homeschooled due to his lack of knowledge in the Italian language, and his only companion was his mother most of the day. He and his father watched the popular Roman television series Vacasha with Father Fausto over breakfast, and again after dinner. It was his father's favorite show. But two adults made such sad companions for a developing child. Every week, Brimstone accompanied his mother to the Vatican City Poplic Library. He wandered around the dusty bookshelves and opened books at random. He turned the pages, which crumpled like peanut brittle under a heavy man's boot, until something spoke to him. The nightmare began when Brimstone found a heavy old book with blackened gold pages in the back of the library. Little Brimmy couldn't read yet, so he never knew exactly what kind of books he was opening. This one exhibited a menagerie of cruel-looking scenes for its young viewer. Serpents swallowing people brain first, poisonous pomegranates siphoning out humans' innards. Brimstone was halfway through the book when he encountered a stout fella with scales colored the deepest scarlet. He sported orange webbed feet, and his head was topped with 7 horns, jet black and shiny, like a new leather jacket.
Brimstone,
the man whispered to him from the pages. Though Brimstone didn't see his lips move, he just stared at Brimstone, mouth open in a terrifying, toothy grin. Brimstone gulped. He didn't want to draw this thing. He could tell from the fear pulsating through his fun-sized thorax that this guy was bad news. But the spirit of artistic talent, or childhood mental illness, latched Brimstone in its clutches, and he knew he would have to draw this creature until he was allowed to stop. Brimstone took to calling the strange man Fleevil, Phil for short. The name had come to him in a nightmare after he filled an entire notebook with that jack-o'-lantern grin. He didn't want to draw Phil anymore. He had already filled nigh unto 500 pages with the ungodly creature's visage. He simply couldn't stop. As Christmas rolled its snowy head in, Brimstone, the normally excited tot, was simply exhausted. This was made even worse by what his parents had decided to gift to him, wrapped in cheerful red paper and handed to him upon a cloud of hopeful anticipation. Brimstone opened the present and promptly screamed. He saw the cardinal-colored plushie with its soft obsidian horns and tangerine webs and immediately threw it across the small Roman apartment like a snake in a can.
"What's wrong?"
Brimstone's father asked, confused, catching the stuffed animal between his meaty paws.
"Don't you like it?"
"It's your friend you've been drawing," his mother said. "We paid a great deal of lira to have it made for you." Brimstone knew exactly who it was. Whoever had sewn this plushie had done a remarkable job. They'd even captured the creature's eyes. One larger and rounder, one smaller, almost a slit, almost like a snake. That was the problem. Brimstone didn't know how to put it into words exactly, what with his brain being just 7 years old. But Phil wasn't a friend. He was a foe. The day after Christmas, before the dust had even settled on Fleevil's cushiony body, Phil told Brimstone to steal his mother's fiat. His voice was so stern, so chilling, Brimstone couldn't say no. Brimmy could barely reach the pedals or see over the steering wheel, so Phil stole him a stack of couch cushions to sit upon and said he would push the gas pedal himself. They took off out into the narrow Roman streets, and Brimstone was immediately frightened.
"Where are we going?" he kept asking Phil. "Why?"
He turned the wheel to narrowly avoid a motorized scooter.
"Mamma mia!"
the scooterist yelled as his hair blew in the Fiat's wake.
"Don't worry about it, kid,"
Phil told Brimstone, his mouth one solid grin in the darkness beneath Brimstone's feet. Brimstone didn't know how to drive, child as he was, and Phil didn't seem to have a grasp on it either. The car sped through red lights. Other cars and scooters and bicicletas dodged out of their way. They sped across the bridge to Vatican City, right into the side of St. Peter's Basilica, and came to a stop inside the rectory. Brimstone screeching like a barn owl all the while.
"Get out!"
Phil said, shimmying his way up Brimstone's leg.
"But don't let them see you."
Brimstone, with Phil perched on his shoulder like a fat, gothic parrot, crawled through the car, into the back, and out the side door, away from the Italian looky-loos, who were now standing in the street, gawking at the crashed vehicle.
Dio mio.
400-year-old travertine crumbled from the church's now-damaged wall and fell upon the fiat's front, denting it like an especially bloated sheet of bubble wrap. Brimstone ran quickly away from the fiat, watching its wheels still spinning on the blessed concrete of the holy square.
"Where are we going?"
Brimstone asked Phil, sobbing, snot dripping into his mouth like melted butter.
"In there,"
Phil said, gesturing toward the church.
"Why?"
Brimstone asked.
"No questions,"
said Phil.
"Just go."
Brimstone walked through the back door of the basilica while hundreds of tourists and the priest on duty ran out front, wailing and crossing themselves, with nary a glance at the small boy and his evil pet plushie.
"What now?" Brimstone asked. "We can call my mom?"
"Of course not, you fool,"
Phil said, his toothless, white-threaded smile still unmoving. Brimstone looked around the large church. There was a pulpit with a man who looked like he was sleeping on a tea lurking over it, as well as a large bowl of water. Brimstone was thirsty, so he toddled over and scooped some in his pudgy hand.
"No, you idiot, no!"
the plushie shouted. It frightened Brimstone, and he dribbled water down his front. He looked down to see it hit Phil on the head. The fur where it landed burned and sizzled.
"Stop drinking holy water. People's hands have been in it. Find me a priest, or a nun, or some higher up Catholic person,"
Phil said.
"Why?"
Brimstone asked.
"Just, I need their help. And stop asking questions."
Brimstone looked around. He didn't know where in the church someone like this might be, but he wandered around long, wood-lined hallways that smelled of frankincense and myrrh until he reached an office. He knocked on the closed door. A man in a large hat answered.
"Can I help you?"
he asked.
"This is perfect,"
Phil whispered in Brimstone's ear.
"That's the Pope, the holiest of all holy people."
The Pope screamed, jumping backwards.
"What's wrong?" Brimstone asked him.
"That plushie! It's a speaking!"
the Pope said, making the sign of the cross and clutching his rosary.
"Oh, you can hear me. Great,"
Phil said.
"Look, I need your help. I'm possessed. I need you to perform an exorcism."
The Pope looked at the plushie, utterly baffled.
"Or else I'll have to burn down this church with my Satan powers."
The Pope instructed Brimstone to place Phil in the middle of a pew.
"What are you going to do to him?"
Brimstone asked.
"I'm going to get the devil out,"
the Pope said, rubbing his hands together like a cricket rubbing its wings.
"The devil?" Brimstone squawked. "The devil's been in my head this whole time. I knew it."
The Pope looked at Brimstone concerned.
"We may need to exorcise you when we are finished."
"I hate exorcise," Brimstone said.
"Stand back,"
the Pope said, pulling a round, golden thurible out of his pocket.
"Is that a bomb?"
Brimstone asked.
"A devil bomb,"
the Pope replied. Brimstone didn't know what that meant, so he just backed up and watched. The Pope swung the thurible in the air, and holy water began to sprinkle down like incense-scented rain. With every drop it exuded onto Phil's plush fur, it left a hole behind, burning black and sizzling. Phil's screams echoed around the cavernous church, like a tree who'd just learned its entire family had been decimated.
"Behold the power of Christ!"
the Pope yelled with every swing.
"Behold the power of Christ!"
Finally, Phil's howls reached a fever pitch and were overtaken by the terrible growls of a beast. The shouts got louder and louder, deeper and deeper. And soon, a large red demon was stretching out of Phil's stuffed body and up toward the domed ceiling. It had horns like an elk, in skin like a sunburnt chicken. Pentagram tattoos covered its every surface. And when it spoke,
Its tongue was long and forked like a snake.
You think you can kill me?
The demon yelled, and it felt like 1,000 crabs were crawling up Brimstone's body. The Pope jumped back in fear.
This was all part of my plan,
the demon shouted gleefully.
Ciao, motherfuckers!
The Pope opened the thurible and slathered the demon in a thick stream of holy water. But the demon was still growing, replacing its burned-away parts with fresh hell meat. It floated up like a hellish balloon until it reached the ceiling. Then it kept rising, bursting through the roof of the basilica in a hurricane of satanic flesh. Splinters of wood and shards of broken stained glass rained down around Brimstone and the Pope like discarded rock candy.
Sweet Jesus, Mr. Pope! You didn't banish the demon, Brimstone said fearfully, his voice quaking. You let it out!
The demon was now flying over Vatican City like an overlarge bat. He twisted over stoplights, putting everyone out like a wet candle wick. Cars and mopeds crashed in the demon's wake. He flew into streetlights and headlights, plunging everyone into pitch blackness.
I have been waiting for this day for eons,
the demon monologued as wretched town folk and tourists got out of their wrecked cars and screamed in fear. The Pope held Brimstone's hand as they watched. The demon continued its vilest of monologues.
Now I am the leader of the holiest city in the world, and all of you will be my servants.
No!
The Pope screamed.
This is the thing we've always feared the most!
A bishop ran a garden hose out toward the demon and began to drench it with the fire hydrant's worth of holy water. The demon waved its hand, and off popped the bishop's head like an overzealous wine cork. The most crimson of liquids, that being blood, splashed onto the square around him. A tourist was running away to escape, and he slipped and fell in the fresh blood, his entire body slathered in it like an oily eel. More screams echoed as everyone ran from the terrible, hellish massacre.
Phil?
Brimstone asked, staring up at the demon. The demon looked down upon him with a giant, fanged smile.
Brimstone, my friend,
he said.
Thank you for releasing me.
It wasn't me, Brimstone yelled. It was him.
He pointed to the Pope.
Now is not the time for a confession, boy, the Pope yelled.
Phil, the demon, smiled.
If you hadn't found me in that book, if your dear parents didn't bring me to life, I would still be just an idea. But now, I am Lord!
I always knew you were evil,
Brimstone shouted at the demon. The demon smiled.
It is my name, after all.
Brimstone couldn't spell, child as he was, so he never realized that Philevil was literally Phil Evil.
You know what?
The demon said.
I think I need a sidekick. I've always wanted a pope.
What?
The Pope screamed. Before Brimstone knew it, the demon was floating down toward them. He plucked the Pope up between his fingers like a spaghetti noodle and tapped the Pope on the nose. The Pope turned into a plushy version of himself, a soft, lanky doll with a little plush hat.
Vatican City is mine!
The demon yelled, flying over the world's smallest country like a homicidal dragonfly.
My first act as Lord will be to rename it Demonican City.
The demon flew atop what was left of the basilica's roof and poked it with one long wing. The basilica suddenly turned black and shrunk 16 times, so it was the size of a small, hand-sized plushie,
instead of a gigantic church. He bopped a few tourists with cameras around their necks, who turned into dolls as well. The tiny tourists with their tiny cameras were carried away by a family of normal-sized ants. But Phil soon seemed to tire of making things into plushies. He continued his reign of terror, swooping down upon the remaining tourists. Heads decapitated and limbs flew as he dug his obsidian talons into the fleshiest parts of the human bodies. Brimstone couldn't handle all this horror. His innocent eyes were too sensitive to the gore. He ran toward the Sistine Chapel as fast as his stubby legs could carry him. He had to reach his father before he too was turned into a plushie, or worse.
Dad! Brimstone yelled along the way. Evil has taken over!
Suddenly, Brimstone's father ran out, followed by his fellow art restorers. He scooped Brimstone up in his arms and they ran toward the Vatican City Bridge, back toward Rome. But as soon as they got to the bridge, Phil flew down in front of them, his gigantic wings blotting out the sun, which was still, blessedly, not a plushie.
Where are you taking him?
The demon asked Brimstone's father.
We're going home,
Brimstone's father said, shaking like a leaf doing the Macarena. Brimstone's father had never before encountered a demon, so he was quite frightened indeed.
He is mine,
Phil said, pulling on Brimstone's arm.
No, Brimstone yelled. I won't go with you. You're scary.
I need you so that you can draw my friend and bring them to life.
I won't, Brimstone shouted. I'll never draw another thing as long as I live.
You what?
Phil asked, shocked, his bafflement turning his face into a puzzle.
But you love to draw.
Not anymore.
But you've always drawn what I told you to,
Phil said. Brimstone stared at him, shocked.
It was you? All this time?
It was I,
Felieval yelled, plucking up a fleeing nun and plushifying her mid-sentence.
Ever since you could hold a pencil, I lured you to what you should draw. I helped you hone your skills until finally you could bring me to life. It is your life's purpose.
Brimstone's father looked at him, concerned.
I had no idea demons were speaking to you, son. I should have paid more attention. Damn my passion for updating UNESCO World Heritage Sites to fit a more modern aesthetic.
Brimstone's father clutched his hand like he was being sucked out of an airlock, and it was the last thing he could hold on to prevent being suctioned into outer space.
Now,
Phil said.
First up is my buddy Beazel.
No, Brimstone yelled. I won't draw another demon.
Felieval's face turned into a hurricane most evil. His brows furrowed, his mouth opened in a scream showcasing hundreds of teeth. Tiny Brimmy could see even more start to crop up. His pentagram tattoo started shifting and moving with the new emotion.
Let's go!
Brimstone's father yelled, trying to pull his son away. But instead, Brimstone pulled out his sketchbook.
Wait, he said, his little boy brain doing gymnastics as he formed a plan. If I can draw demons and bring them to life, then I can draw something to defeat them.
What on earth are you talking about, son?
Brimstone's father yelled.
We don't have time for this.
But Brimstone knew it had to be done. They were running out of time to live. Unless someone did something. Unless he did something. But what could defeat a giant, plushy demon? Brimstone thought back to all his days at breakfast and dinner. Focaccia with Father Fausto. Brimstone couldn't really remember what Father Fausto looked like. Not enough to draw him anyway. And Phil had so easily plucked up and plushified the Pope. He might plushify Father Fausto, too. But Brimstone did remember someone else, most holy. Father Fausto's companion. A pug. His name was Santo. Saint. And Brimstone remembered how to draw Santo, had committed that pug to memory as he asked his parents every day if he could have a dog just like that one. They always said no. But now, Brimstone would have him, for Feleval the demon had awoken Brimstone to a great power indeed, the power to draw things into existence. As Phil swarmed above them in foul circles, ramming his angry tornado self into buildings millennia old, Brimstone plopped his sketch pad down on the cobblestone and knelt down, pulling out his pencil like it was a most holy sword.
What are you doing, Brimmy? We have to go!
His father shouted, seeing this tantrumal distraction as their only chance of escape. I have to save the world, Dad, Brimstone said simply. And Brimstone began to draw. First ears, then a pig-like snout, a pudgy body, then finally the most holy rosary that Santo wore around his thick neck. Behold, Brimstone said, getting up and shoving the drawing toward the sky. But nothing happened. Phil noticed Brimstone was holding the sketchbook and turned to see what the drawing was. And he laughed.
What is that? Is that dog supposed to defeat me?
Come on, son, you did it!
His father yelled, picking Brimstone up to carry him away.
Time to go now!
But Brimstone thrashed and thrashed. No! He yelled. This will work! Santo! To life, Santo! And with those words from this small boy, the pug began to materialize from the very page. First, a puggy paw. Next, his head and half floppy ears. But they weren't normal dog-sized features. They were enormous. And soon, Santo the pug was taller than what the former St. Peter's Basilica had been looming over the city. His bulbous tongue dripped spittle onto the ground. Feleval turned toward the pug and lost all of his ire. He began to shake.
No!
He said.
It cannot be!
Brimstone couldn't be sure, but from the looks of it, the demon seemed to be afraid. Brimmy had calculated correctly. Somewhere in his head that had formerly been controlled by satanic voices, another, brighter voice had spoken to him. It had given him the answer like a wonderful scoop of gelato. Brimstone and his father watched with bated breath. This plan had to work, or else Vatican City would be overrun by demons and destroyed. And after that, the world. Santo clamored toward Feleval. Santo was happy, drooling, his tail wagging, knocking out the walls of buildings like they were nothing at all. The demon backed away.
What have you done, child?
Phil caterwauled.
I hate dogs.
You do? Brimstone asked, hope flooding his small body like a dam breaking.
Of course. I am not so far from being a chew toy myself. You knew it. You've done this to destroy me.
Feleval shouted, his face now a swirl of fear. Santo bounded toward him, his rosary floating in the wind around his neck. He got right up to Phil and drenched him in a great lick. Phil screamed,
No! His saliva is holy water!
And before Brimstone's in his father's eyes, Phil's demon face began to dissolve, demon skin falling from it in great, gloopy chunks. Santo got closer and lifted his head, elevating the rosary right up and around Phil's neck like his very own collar. Phil screamed in pain as the rosary beads dug into his throat, burning into his skin like an infected tattoo, and turning him back into a plushie.
Ruff, ruff,
Santo said, tail still wagging. His barks shook the earth like godly thunder. Santo then went in for the kill, grabbing the giant demon plushie by its soft throat and shaking it about so violently that the firmament itself did tremble. Soon, Feleval was in the beast's most holy paws, and the sainted mega canine was ripping blasphemous stuffing from an opening a bus width wide in the creature's foul chest. Then, with a bark so loud that it would bother the neighbors in France, Monaco, Switzerland, Austria, and Slovenia, the blessed pug tore the plushie in two. The halves sizzled into nothingness.
My God, Brimstone, you did it!
Brimstone's father said, shocked. Slowly, Italians began disembarking their cars, which they had taken for hiding spots. They all stared from the giant pug to Brimstone in utter amazement. They all knew Santo, for Focaccia with Father Fausto was the most popular show in Vatican City, and Brimstone's rendering of the dog was quite faithful indeed. Santo looked toward them all, a giant dog grin across his pug face. He drooled upon them like pious rain, and all at once, everyone bowed. And then more people ran up, locals and tourists alike, and lifted Brimstone above their heads like a championship-winning baseball player. Brimstone had done it. He had saved Vatican City. He locked eyes with Santo, who he knew would be his best friend forever. Because how could his parents deny him the dog that had saved not just Vatican City, but the world? He finally had his very own dog, a giant dog who would keep strangers and demons at bay forever. And with a child like Brimstone, who had welcomed the devil into his head with open, eager, malleable brain matter, they would need to keep this very specific type of guard dog very close.
Ah, yes, a tale as old as time. What did you think of my little nightmare?
It's stupid? Terrible? Let me out right now. The abductionist might have already... Why are all these cells full of people?
Oh, them? They're my prisoners. I make them read my stories.
They read the stories, so are they, like, volunteered?
Oh, no. I abducted them.
You don't mean...
Now she gets it. Like the spider to the fly, your gumshoe's intuition has led you straight to my web.
No.
The irony is delicious, is it not? The cop trying to catch the abductorist is herself abducted. They couldn't come up with this one in Hollywood. Take her away.
But I read your story.
Oh, yes. And you'll read plenty more as time goes by.
I'll get you. You son of a bitch. I'm the meanest cop in Los Angeles. I'll get you.
Yes, you will get me, but in the sense that you'll get my evil stories. This episode was performed by Brittany Gutheim and Lord Serpent. It was edited by Stacey Milbourne, Michael Morgan, and Lord Serpent. Plushie from Hell was written by Stacey Milbourne and Lord Serpent. It was produced by Stacey Milbourne, Michael Morgan, Charles Brock, and Lord Serpent. Michael Morgan and Lord Serpent were the audio engineers. The music was composed by Charles Brock and Lord Serpent. Tune in next week for even more horrific tales of evil so foul that you might be really scared. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Lord Serpent's Library and check out my homepage at rss.com/podcasts/Lord Serpent's Library.